Alrighty, we're back for another live edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon, and it is an absolute honor to be joined today by CNN legend, color commentator, broadcaster, anchor icon, veteran of Matt Toon, Larry Smith. How's it going, Larry?
I don't know if I'm a legend or not, but it's going well.
I think it's always better if someone calls you that and like, "Hi, yes, I am a legend." Thank you for finding that out.
Glad you said it, not me. That's well put.
So I did want to mention, you talked a little bit about it. Why are you back in our little town? You've moved on so much. What brings you back to see everybody?
I'm part of the this year's class, 2019 class of the Mattoon High School Hall of Fame Society.
Oh, wow.
Something that we put in place 3 years ago, and the committee had nominated me, and I kept refusing the nomination because I just wanted to get some other people in there. We've got some fantastic stories. People done had great careers.
Right.
And they nominated me again, and Craig Titley, also the Hollywood producer, was also in this class. When we approached Craig for a third time, we never could work out his schedule. And this year he said, "Well, why aren't you in it?" And I explained, and he said, "Well, I tell you what, I'll go in if you go in with me."
That's neat.
Craig and I have been friends for a long time, so back to our high school days. I said, "Well, okay, so here I am."
Yeah, it has to be really cool to get asked to be in some distinguished alumni or a Hall of Fame of some sort. But I'm sure when it comes down to small town people, you're kind of like, "Well, is this really me? Is this what I'm about?" So I think it's great that you held off for a while, but you did decide to be involved with it.
It was a great honor. It's awkward because I was, one of the people to put this together, so
right.
That was the thing. I didn't want it to seem self-serving, so that's why I kept saying no, no, no. This is the third time it's happened, East EIU Hall of Fame and Lakeland's Hall of Fame and then Mattoon. And this one's a little more special because it's the high school, and certainly all of my friends and classmates, as well as teachers that I went through school with, helped shape who I am. So this one was a little more special than the others, there's no question, because I have great passion for my hometown.
Yeah, there's a lot to be given here and learned. And of course, graduating from Mattoon High in 1986, what lessons would you say you learned there that helped you choose the career path that you're on now?
It's funny that I didn't know in high school that I could do this. I actually created a fictional university and any of my classmates who hear this, they'll chuckle. And I would play games on my video game. I'd record it on my boombox, like I was in the booth doing play-by-play or whatever. But I actually went into accounting. And feel free to laugh. I joke with you, would you trust this face to do your taxes? No, of course not. And but that's how I got into that, realized it probably wasn't for me for a lifelong career, was taking aptitude tests freshman year in college and realized that there was this other communication thing, and oh yeah, that thing you're doing, you can actually do that as a career and make money. And I switched majors and began to climb from there. But I think the big thing going through Mattoon was to reach for the stars. There were so many things I did in high school that were firsts that no one else had really done, and I was never afraid to at least try, even if I failed, at least give it a shot. And so that those lessons and that attitude is what led me to this career.
I know you dreamed of being the first black president as well, but I guess there's always a chance for a second. Why didn't you ever decide to go full force with politics? Was it just not something in your heart? Or?
It just, I lost that spark once I kind of chased everything else. I have friends who still think I'm building a career. They would joke when I was at CNN. They would say, "Well, you're building a national platform and a name." And I'm like, "No, no, no, it's not going to happen." You can affect change and you can affect people just as well without being in elected office than you can within in office. You would never say never to anything, but I will tell you 100% that I have no plans at all to ever do that for a number of reasons, and you could pick anyone you want and I'll go, okay. I like what the life that I have. I like the way I can reach people with this. Politics now has just become not as attractive as a career for me as what it might have been 30 years ago or 20 years ago. Just the nature of things. Spending some time in Washington recently, I certainly I would adds to that feeling, kind of strengthens that notion. So I get a chance to do some wonderful things with people, and thankfully years at CNN and Turner Sports has given me a platform that allows me to walk in a door and state my opinion and say, hey, we need help, and people will respond. And so I like to use that in a good way, and I've been able to do that.
That's very awesome. And of course, why did you decide to attend EIU in Charleston, and what courses did you decide you wanted to study there?
Well, great TV program is the bottom line. I went to Bradley University in accounting and was there for a couple of years, first year in business, second year in communications. Did not feel it was very strong from a practical standpoint. I couldn't find the TV station, and it was always locked, and the laboratory just did not seem very open. Went to Lakeland, took a full year of radio TV classes to get back on track with my major, my new major. Went to Eastern, it was right here close by, and the rest is history. So took, you know, speech comm classes and journalism minor. I still keep in touch with my professors, Dave Reed and Sue Kaufman, and of course Mike Brad, and so many others over there. But it's a fantastic program, and they've done a lot of really great things that's gotten some national recognition in the last probably 5, 10, even 15 years. And I know I'm very proud of that. A lot of my classmates at Eastern were very proud that we were kind of the beginning of that movement to kind of begin to build that into a really solid program, and I think one of the best in the Midwest. There's no question the lessons I learned there were very helpful in my career.
88.9 has a great station. I mean, they play so much variety of genres that it's right up my alley. So, and I think they do a lot with their television as well that helps kids learn what they need to go through to be able to have a career in this. And of course, joining CNN in 1993, how did your journey lead there, and what are some of your proudest accomplishments?
Wow. Well, I'll take the first part. I began working at Channel 15, which was then the NBC affiliate in Champaign, while I was still in college at Eastern back in February of 1990, and was there 16 months, then took a job in Knoxville, the NBC station, was there for 9 months, long enough to meet my wife, and met her literally 2 months later. I moved to West Palm Beach just with my first sports job, which is what I wanted to do, weekend sports anchor at the NBC station there, and we had a former CNN intern at the WPTV in West Palm Beach who was a former college athlete. And she walked up one evening after I did my Sunday night extended 20-minute show and said, you've got the talent to be on CNN. Here's the number. Here are the two guys in charge, and here's the phone number. And I said, yeah, I'll give him a call. I'll call him sometime. I'm not ready. Oh, my goodness, I'm only 24 years old. Well, come on. I called him the next morning. Let me get their morning coffee out of the way, and I called. And about 6 weeks later, I drove up 9.5 hours to Atlanta to spend 30 minutes in the office there, met both of them, and they asked me, they said, if you would, keep in touch, once a month call us just to touch base and let us know how you're going, and secondly, if you get an offer anywhere else, don't take it till you talk to us. Well, if you're 24 years old and a network exec of a sports department tells you that, you feel pretty good about yourself. And 6 months later, Van Orr Wright left to go to Detroit, and I was happy to be back into town, and I met with them, and they said, you're one of three candidates we're looking at. Are you interested? I said, I'm 24 years old. Hell yes, I'm interested. And that's what happened. So lo and behold, that was end of September. 2 months later, 12 days after my 25th birthday, I'm anchoring my first show on CNN. 16 years, I covered more than 16 major championships. Proud of the longevity, and proud that I know every single day I did my very best. I may not have been the best, I may not have been perfect, but I know that I never took a day off. I always worked very, very hard, and I think even now, I've been gone from CNN for 10 years, the fact that people still remember me from CNN, I take great pride in that, because that means that in some way somebody liked what I was doing.
And you have interviewed so many cool people. People like to ask me who my favorite person to interview was. And I know it's kind of like a big thing to say, pick out maybe one or two of who your favorites. But out of the people like Tiger Woods, Ernie Banks, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I mean, the list is growing much longer than that. But who would you say were some of your favorites to sit down with?
Those were some. Kareem is always good because Kareem doesn't really like the media that much, you know, or he didn't at the time. He's warmed up. And that was always good. to talk with him. Tiger was always a good interview. Michael Phelps is one. Tiger and Michael are a lot alike in terms of, you know, if you don't ask well thought out questions, you can see in their face that they're bored. You know, like that's the best you got. So those guys, I think, really stand out as some that are interesting. Always enjoy talking to Tom Izzo. He's just one of my favorite coaches. He's just a genuine good guy. There's a lot of them, and I would spend the rest of your time here, and I could bore you with stories.
Not more than I'm boring you, I'm sure.
No.
Of course, I mentioned that. Gosh, I think it was 2007 when you visited or spoke to our Lakeland broadcasting class. And I just think it's kind of neat how this came around like this. I wanted to thank you for that.
Sure.
And, you know, for sharing the knowledge that you had to a young group of up-and-coming people who wanted to do this for a living. And I'm not sure how many people are still doing it from our class because people move on. But it was really nice of you to come and speak to us.
No, I mean, I think that's what it's all about. You know, look, I recognize that there aren't many people from a small Midwestern town of 20,000 that gets a chance to do the things I've done. And, you know, my kids are now in high school. They're entering college in the next year or two. And, you know, I would hope that whatever they choose, there is someone there that can take the time to stop and mentor them. You know, I think about now that I get older, what's my legacy? Well, my legacy is people that I can reach out and inspire in whatever way. And I don't try to reach out and hit that one or two individual people, but if there's someone who wants to hear what I have to say, I'm happy to share whatever it is. I'm stunned. There have been people who have reached out and I've said, sure, have them call me, and they don't call. And it happened so many times, even people here in this area that, oh, my neighbor's son's best friend wants to get into sports casting. Okay, well, because it's you, here's my cell phone number. I don't always give this out, but feel free to give it to him. I'll do that right now. And never hear another word. So, which is a good thing, because if you're not serious about this, if you don't have the passion for it, don't waste my time. Or don't waste anyone else's time. This is a career, as you know, you have to be passionate to try to get to the level now, because it's so very competitive. But anytime there's somebody who wants knowledge from me, I try my best to give that.
Especially podcasting. It seems like now everybody and their granddaughter has some podcast on something. And I think that it's awesome that these opportunities have opened up. I'm just hoping that maybe the podcasting does not go down the drain in a way, so to say, because of so many heads in the pond.
Yeah, I haven't started one yet. I've thought about it, but it's amazing. My wife listens to them all the time, and most people do. I just don't stop long enough to figure out how to download them. It's just me, you know. But I think it's fantastic, because when you are on a long drive, there's just so many topics. And I think right now, with so many of the media companies being swallowed up by larger corporations, sometimes those independent voices that are very important get lost. And so I think that's where right now, where podcasting has filled a real important niche in our society.
Absolutely. And the final question I always like to ask, what does the future hold for you? It's one of those loaded-ended questions.
That is. You know, I'm not done with TV, I don't think. There is a situation right now that may finalize itself in the next couple of weeks. And so if that happens, we'll put an announcement on Facebook in terms of what that is. If this does happen, it could be my final job. It's one that's kind of that important, that's that large of a situation. Otherwise, I don't know. Really enjoying, you know, my kids at this very special time in their lives. And, you know, daughter's a senior, son's a junior, going through the college process. They're very proud. They're good kids, thanks to their mom. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not done. It'd be cool to reach the 50-year mark in this career. I'm at 31 right now, so we'll see if that happens. But I love what I do. And if you ask me, what else would you go do? Maybe public speaking. But in terms of a 9-to-5 job, I don't know what I'd go do, because I've had so much fun with this and the freedom to interview people and to meet people and to be able to tell stories. And I think one thing I've done, if not just seen in my whole career, is I think I've been able to be somebody who's trustworthy. I've only had one incident that was an odd, weird incident, and that wasn't anything of my doing. It was someone else misinterpreting something, blah, 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 whatever. So But it's a good life, and it's a good career, and I'm very blessed.
Yeah, I think you know, if you're in a career that's you're all over the place, it's got to be hard, because with the internet the way it is, I mean, everyone's got a comment. They've got it. They're all geniuses and know everything about, you know, what you're doing and your life. But
well, what's funny is that it is, journalism is lost. I'm amazed, even just watching what some people do, is that people on social media who weigh in with an opinion, who didn't even bother to call. And these are journalists. I don't mean just somebody who just decides to post something, who, you know, random, you know, Joe Blow out in wherever. These are people who are journalists who want to go post an opinion and have the ability to call the newsmaker and never do that. That's what journalism is all about, is, okay, wait a minute. You know, right here in Mattoon, we had the Omega scandal, trading scandal years ago. And I was always amazed when that happened, because I would come to visit and I would ask my family, what is this construction company over here? I've never heard of this guy. Brand new building and 20 trucks, and nobody ever asked the question. Who are you, and how did this happen? Well, it turned out there was, you know, some funny business going on. But that's the thing of a journalism is, you have to be curious to be a journalist. You have to ask questions. And if you don't, well, you're doing yourself a disservice as well as your listeners and your readers.
Absolutely, Larry. Thank you so very much for joining us today. It was an absolute honor getting to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.